This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Strong talk, Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 10th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
You know, not great, Taryn. You know, I thought you were the homie, but these last few days I've seen you talking to other people, and it's just disrespectful.
Yeah. I am wearing my finale outfit. I apologize. Yeah.
How dare you, rub that in my face. Not cool.
Yeah. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 4 in the house. And there's a lot to catch you up on. Occasionally, especially early in the season, there's so much to talk about that it would be like a 3-hour podcast, and we need to just kind of like really extra summarize. That is probably going to be, today, because there's a lot of things to talk about, a lot of other things to talk about as well. So, we are going to do our best here to, get you up to speed on what's been happening here. And try to break down the various things. So let's just get straight into it. To catch you up, of course, Daniel is the HOH. He, on day 3, nominated Michael and Terrence for eviction. Michael, because he was not one of the strong guys, and Michael was his target. Terrence, because it was just an easy nomination. Very quickly after the nominations, when Terrence talked to Daniel, Daniel made it clear that Terrence was not his target, and the conversations with Terrence went very well and only further reaffirmed his opinion that he did not want Terrence to go and that he did want Michael to go. In the meantime, we've got, you know, the Mamba Alliance. We've got a bunch of different alliances. Let me pull up the cast as well. I apologize that the text might be a little small if you're not in full screen, but I could try to show you that if I try to change it in any way, it just doesn't
well,
work.
No, but here's the thing, Taryn. Why would anyone not have us in full screen? Why are you disrespecting us? Put it in full screen. Daniel's a flop. Oh my God. I know this has been talked to death the last few days. You know, I'm not like reinventing the wheel here, but like winning the first HOH, really only a benefit if you know what you're doing. And I guess he's on another planet. I don't know. I can't.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening with the nominations. We of course have different alliances, but really the main thing that was going on, it felt like in the beginning of the day, right? Terrence and Michael on the block. The intrigue was coming from the fact that the alliances intermingled in such a way that it could end up being a split vote, or at the very least, some kind of fight for who was going to go and who was going to stay. And that's because Paloma's group, the Girls Girls, plus Mamba, would want to keep Michael around. And Daniel and the people that he's working with, primarily the Motley crew plus Nicole, and then by extension, the rest of the guys, which are loosely named Oasis, would want Terrence to stay and Michael to go. And so, I'll briefly give you, the names of these alliances again. The Girls Girls, Alyssa, Paloma, Amira, Indy, Jasmine, and Brittany. Then, the Mamba Alliance is Alyssa, Paloma, Amira, Monty, Kyle, and Michael. And then the guys are the guys. And so
the guys aren't the guys.
So basically the intrigue here is that, and I'm not going to go over all the votes because there's so many people that don't have votes. There's 9 votes total.
Yes.
Paloma's group has 5 within the Girls Girls and Mamba. Plus they were probably looking to get somebody like Joseph to come along with them. But basically the intrigue is that, the other guys would expect Monty and Kyle to vote with them to vote out Michael and vote to keep Terrence. The Mamba Alliance would obviously expect them to vote to keep Michael, and things are going to be a little bit weird, if push comes to shove. Now, all of that is irrelevant because push doesn't come to shove. But that's where things were looking like they were going.
Push doesn't. Sorry, that cracked me up. Sorry, Taryn.
No worries. So veto, of course, is going to occur today. The veto players are drawn, and Indy, Amira, and Turner are picked to play alongside Daniel, Michael, and Terrence. Yes. So that's the consistency of the, that's the makeup of the veto competition here. We actually got a leak of the competition. It looked like, there were 2 tracks. We did confirm it was like a head to head kind of situation. Yes. They were like dressed up as like Renaissance knights or whatever.
Oh, was that what that was? Renaissance?
I don't know. I just, Renaissance came to my head. Maybe because Renaissance fairs. I'm being honest, I don't really know what Renaissance means, other than like the resurgence of something.
Well, right? It's also Beyonce's new album, so maybe they're trying to be on theme.
So anyway, veto competition. Michael's hyping himself up. What would Janelle do?
She would win the veto.
Yes.
She would simply win the veto.
And then celebrate in their faces. He's hyping himself out, and, Brittany joins him and gives him a pep talk. She's like, I visualize yourself winning. She's like, one of my biggest hobbies is that I look into like this kind of thing about, like basically therapy stuff. She's like, visualize yourself winning. And she goes off on a like, screw them for not seeing any value in us. Like, you're going to show them that we have value and it's going to be great. And she hypes him up and it's a great pep talk. He's into it.
Now, is there an argument to be made that she hypnotized him? could she have hypnotized him a little bit?
I think there's an argument to be made that she hypnotized herself later in the day.
Bold. Yes.
Michael says to the cameras that he does really love Brittany, but he hopes that his conflicts or his interests don't conflict, essentially, between Mamba and his thing with Brittany, because at the end of the day, he's got to look out for himself, whatever that means. A little bit of an interesting thing there. We spoke about finale outfits. We also talked yesterday about how, the other sort of like storyline through the season so far has been that basically from the second the feeds turned on, there has been quite the anti-Taylor sentiment in the air. And on day 3, yesterday, or sorry, the day before, not actually yesterday, because look, it's weird how we do this.
Yesterday for the feeds yesterday.
Yes. Yesterday from yesterday, Taylor kind of opened up to the house about having trouble connecting with people sometimes, and you know, situations in the past that she's experienced difficulty with these sorts of things. And so she's been trying to make more of an effort to connect, especially with some of the women. And, you know, in an effort to sort of connect with them, I believe something about like some of her outfits maybe had just arrived or something along those lines. And so she was just kind of like trying them out, doing a little bit of a fashion show as the room full of mostly women until Joseph joined. We're kind of like egging her on.
Yeah. And so the impression I got, and like, you know, in my life, I've spent a lot of time bonding with other women over clothing and sharing clothing. And we've seen it for years on Big Brother as well, that everybody ends up wearing each other's clothes. And it can be like a really kind of easy, low pressure way to try and build something if you don't feel super comfortable getting deep with people or having strong conversations with people. And so the way I saw it, and Taylor even says, like, it's going to be open season on my closet. Like, my only rule is that I need to wear something first before you can borrow it, which is a very standard girl's rule. Very normal. Nothing weird about it. And everyone is encouraging her. They're talking about how good she looks and they like her clothes and like, yeah, show us the next one. Let's go. But then later they're like, okay, let me talk out the other side of my mouth.
Yeah. This does just briefly. It reminds me of when Asa let, who was it? Was it Alyssa? It was somebody. It might've been Alyssa, like wear her finale dress. And then she was so mad because it like ripped or something. I don't remember, but Asa was so funny.
That's the other thing. You're going to borrow someone's clothes. You need to be good with them. Literally, Taylor is just existing in the world, living her life. And people are like, you know what would be really fun? To say that this very chill woman is bullying us and also do microaggressions against her. Like, it's horrible. This is horrible.
Yes. So, so just to like fully explain the situation, like, she's literally just trying on clothes. They are very much like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. Try on more, do this one. And so she eventually puts on what she calls, you know, her finale outfit or the thing that she's going to wear for the finale. Right. And they're like, oh, it's so great. You know, the thing that people do. Like, oh, it's just, yes, this is the definition of snatched. Like, you're so beautiful.
And all of those statements, true.
Oh, yeah.
Like, listen, Taylor is one of the most beautiful people I have ever seen in my entire life. And she also has the clothes. Absolutely stunning. It's like when Kyle is like going off, like complimenting people, it's like everything, the way he treats everyone is how people should be treating Taylor, especially when it comes to her outfits.
Yes. And so they're like, oh, like, show it off for us. And so she does like a little walk in the bedroom. They're like, oh my God, this is so amazing. You've got to show everyone else. And she's like, no. Like that was not the intent here. And they're like, oh, come on. And we'll like introduce you, like, hey, it's Miss America. She's like, Miss America. I'm like, okay, no, come on. We got to do this. So they get her to go out and do a little walk. And they're like, introducing Miss Big Brother. She comes out. She's like, oh, hey. And you know, she does her thing. So everybody gets to see. And she's, you know, people are like, she's showing it off. And people are like, oh, that's your finale outfit. Like, oh, you're showing off your finale outfit. She's like, why? I didn't want to, but they made me come out here. So she shows it off. She goes back. She takes it off. What a fun, you know, we've been having these fashion shows on Big Brother lately. Like, what a fun little moment, right?
For years. Nothing new. This is not new ground.
Yeah, it's, and everyone loved her outfit. Everyone's having a good time. What a nice house.
Everyone is best friends and they all get along really well. And yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. Another thing that happens in the morning is that Taylor has a conversation with Monty. And from what we saw of it, it was mostly just like, what would happen if the veto was won? Not sure. Hopefully, I wouldn't think it would be another have-not guy, right? And they actually briefly talk about, like, you know, Terrence is up on the block. What are we going to do? Taylor's not sure. They're kind of like, man, it sucks that, like, you know, that Terrence is up there because, you know, obviously we're not going to do like a cookout thing again. And then the feed's kind of cut from the conversation. So we didn't see much more of that particular conversation, but don't worry, it comes up later. So anyway, we get to the veto competition, and I'm skipping a lot of like campaign-y stuff. It's in the morning.
There's so much little stuff of like, oh, yeah, what would you do if you won the veto? Would you want me to use the veto?
Which, who should, like, I pick? What should I do? Exactly. Who would you vote for?
Like, and nothing that exciting, because a lot of it is people asking Daniel what to do, and he doesn't have any opinions that aren't given to him by other people. So he doesn't really know how to respond to those questions.
Yes. And much of the campaigning and who would you vote for and what would you do with the veto becomes irrelevant because Michael wins the power of veto.
What would Janelle do? She would win.
She would. and he did. It was apparently a pretty close one. Amira did very well. People really respected Amira's performance. And there's some drama that comes from this, both the competition and just the general time that the feeds were down, primarily because Paloma is pissed at Daniel. She says, this guy is problematic. He's got to go. Did you see how much of a sore loser he was in this competition? She says that he accused Indy of cheating in the competition. He was like, yeah, you cheated.
embarrassing. That's like the problem is you hear all of this from Paloma and yes, you're like, is it true? Who knows? We can't believe her. She's an unreliable narrator.
The problem is she goes to Indy and she's like, can you believe what Daniel did to you? And Indy's like, what? I thought it was chill.
Yeah. And Indy just vibing as per
usual. I think Daniel's a good guy, she says.
I mean, here's the thing. I already knew Paloma's bad before this, but she's someone who likes the Keira Knightley version of Pride and Prejudice, which is a fake fan anyways. If it's not the BBC 6-part miniseries, who even are you?
Lizzie Bennet.
Embarrassing. She's Kitty at best. Caroline Bing, more likely. Bing Lee.
You are speaking gibberish to me.
I'm sorry you don't know the classics of the first ever rom-com, but she thinks that she is the heroine of the story, and it's frankly embarrassing for her. And the Keira Knightley movie is trash.
Oh, no, don't say that to Paloma.
Oh, I'll tell her to her face. I would love to talk to Paloma face-to-face about anything.
So Indy apparently not upset by the Daniel thing, and who knows? I don't think this is going to stick, this drama, but it happened. And so, you know, another thing that happened while the feeds were down is that, Brittany hypnotized herself, or at least that's my theory, and, or she has a twin, that she's switching out with. And so, Brittany observed.
Yeah, I think you need to get closer to the camera when you do your pretty stuff.
Hold on.
Oh, God, wait, no. I take it back.
I observed at the table. It was an observe bounty of riches.
I take it back.
Whoops, that's not how it works. How do I get it back?
Taryn said we don't need Kirsten. We can just cast up.
There it is.
Oh, my God.
So Trey would be proud.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So remember, Brittany is claiming to be a researcher, a toy researcher, and that she's constantly referencing as a researcher. I observe.
As a researcher.
Yes. She made some observations at the table while the feeds were down. And I don't know. I still don't really know what those observations were, if I'm being honest.
Well, and the thing is like watching the conversation, I was like, okay, Brittany. And then even when you look at how people are reporting on the conversation, it's just like, Brittany shared many observations. I was like, okay, so you got just as much from this as I did.
So the main thing, the biggest message that Brittany has. So Brittany's one of the first people to talk to Daniel post-veto. And obviously we know with Michael winning the veto, somebody's going to have to go up as the replacement. We know that Daniel doesn't want Terrence to go. So this person is going to be the intended target. Whether they actually go home is another question, but it's definitely huge. Who's going to go up as the replacement.
Yes. And this is why, like, especially with the backstage twist and everything, like, totally understand the thought process of, okay, I have a pawn and I have a target, whatever. Sure. But even when you're putting up a pawn, it has to be someone where you're still fine with them going home. Like, you can never put someone on the block that you're not fine with them going home if things change, especially in a week where there's no tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm. So Brittany is, again, one of the first people to talk to Daniel. Nicole ends up coming in, and it's basically her talking to Nicole and Daniel. They, by the way, think they're doing a great job of hiding their closeness, Nicole and Daniel. But very, like, very much everybody knows. Daniel's obviously, like, he's pissed, but like, oh, this is Big Brother, because this sucks that my target just won and now he's going to be coming for me, but this is Big Brother. And so Brittany's talking to him, and the biggest takeaway from her observation is that there are so many people in this house that are just here for the fame. And, you know, there's few of us here that are not here for the fame. And luckily that's, you know, obviously we're not here for the fame. We're here for the money.
Well, yeah, because Big Brother is so big for fame after. You know how the contestants are so famous after the season.
Yeah. And the person that she thinks is here the most for fame is Indy. She doesn't even know what version of Big Brother she's on. She just wants to be on Big Brother Brazil. Why is she even here? She wants to be on the other show.
I think it's a beggars can't be choosers situation, but okay.
Yeah. You might be thinking, wait a minute, why is she throwing Indy under the bus? Isn't she in an alliance with Indy? And my answer to that is yes, she is. And I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like that's what a lot of this. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Now, I guess to be fair to Brittany, this is not just on her. Jasmine and Amira also had a conversation earlier in the day about, like, what does Indy even do here? Amira talked a little bit of game with Indy, and she's like, that's the first time Indy talked game with me at all. Like, within the girls are not a fan, not huge fans of Indy. Although I think maybe Paloma is a little bit more so, but, you know.
It's also day four. It's weird because, like, the strategy of this house is moving at such a strange pace. where a lot of people are not really talking strategy or don't know how to initiate those conversations, largely because of Daniel's open door policy. But then there's this like weird judgment for people that are not perceived as playing hard enough, which like, I think over the past few years, we've all agreed that like playing hard is better than not playing at all in general. But normally it does take, you know, a week or so for people to get more established in the game and where they are and used to the cameras and the feeds and everything. But no, other players get to arbitrarily decide when the game happens. And if you're not in the room for that specific moment, well, sorry, you've missed the boat and now you're not playing hard enough.
Yes. So remember that prior to the nominations, the initial nominations, Daniel had mentioned that his shortlist was essentially Michael, Terrence, Taylor, and Indy. But we also know that there's been a big push from primarily Amira, but also, you know, Paloma and Alyssa and a couple of other people that they would love to see somebody like Joseph go up on the block. So in terms of a replacement nominee, it seems like the top three names on the board are Indy, Taylor, and Joseph, with Daniel probably thinking Indy's the easiest option. So Brittany very much like, yeah, she's here for fame. And she's like, and Terrence, I hate to say it, but he's breaking down. And Daniel's like, what do you mean? Like, what are you trying to say? She's like, well, basically that we should keep him around, right? And he's like, okay. And so then she starts talking about Taylor. And he's like, oh, I don't know about Taylor. Like, he's kind of like anti big move. She's like, well, I can tell you. Cause he's like, don't the girls like Taylor? She's like, no. The girls, they do not like Taylor. Whoa, really? And she's like, yeah. No, nobody likes Taylor. Everybody doesn't like Taylor. It's like, oh, okay. She just keeps going. Just anybody that is brought up, she's got something to throw them under the bus. I genuinely don't understand what she's doing here. But she's super hyped up about it.
I mean, as you would be when you're just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yes. So I will say, like pretty much anybody that talks to Daniel, except for Michael, yes. He likes this conversation. He's like, oh yeah, she just laid out so much for us. Nicole though seemed a little more like sketched out by this situation. She's like, wow, like, that was weird. The fact that she was observing at the table is terrible because I was having a whisper conversation with either Pooch or Turner. I think Pooch, about like what we would do if the veto was won. And like we were talking about it and she probably heard that because she was observing.
And then it's like, okay, so the problem is now that you were observed and not the fact that you were having an open whisper conversation in front of people. Weird. That's weird.
Yeah. So Amira is going to talk to Nicole after this. And again, her pitch is like, let's try to get Daniel to make a move here. The move that she wants to be made is Joseph. And Nicole is in. She's like, I'm down for that. That would be a great idea. The only thing is that I'd want to make sure that we would have the votes and that we'd back up Daniel. I don't want to leave Daniel, hanging to dry, whatever the phrase is.
You're the sleep deprivation is already taking over for Taryn 4 days in. Listen, these people fall asleep at what, 6? And then the music comes on at 7:30. When is Taryn to sleep?
Yeah. So they agree. Let's get Joseph on the block. The problem is that Daniel right now, he's, you know, he really wants to take the safe route. But Daniel's talking to Terrence and he tells Terrence, hey, I really want you to stay. Terrence says, look, if you really want me to stay, I think you should really make a bigger move. I think you should take a big shot. Make sure that the person sitting next to me is somebody that nobody can resist, you know, voting out essentially. Mm-hmm. The conversation is longer than that, but basically Daniel is pretty receptive to the idea. Terrence is making some good points and it's starting to feel like, okay, Daniel's starting to be receptive to the idea of making a big move. Amira had actually been pushing the idea even before the veto had been won by Michael, and Daniel was basically like, I'd think about it. And so Now Amira and Nicole just need to pitch to Daniel. Let's do Joseph. And there's a chance we might see something happen. And so the doorbell rings. Daniel opens the door. And Turner comes in. Wait, Turner. It's supposed to be Amira and Nicole. Uh-oh. What's Turner doing here?
Turner is the messenger, okay? He speaks. He's like the, I guess, the Lorax of his alliances. He speaks for them. The other thing, too, okay, so just before we get into the turn of it all, everyone's talking, oh, make a big move. This is week one. Daniel could establish what a big move means in this house and take the reins and take control, which is what, or at least get people behind him. But instead, I don't understand what they even mean by big move, because how is Joseph a big move?
He's really not that big of a move, but like, you know, at least you're taking out one of the like six massive dudes.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, big move, as a way to like just like sprinkle dust to be like, oh no, you don't see our giant alliance. You will nominate someone who's outside of that alliance and we'll tell you it's a big move. And like, fair enough, that's their game, but it's annoying because I really like.
Yeah, a big move is basically anything that's not the most cowardly little move.
But I don't even know what a cowardly little move would be.
Whatever pisses people off the least. Yeah, if you piss off at least one person outside of the person that got nominated, that's a big move.
I miss Karen Singbeil. I'll say it. I'm not afraid.
So Turner comes in instead of Nicole or Amira. Turner comes in. He does bear a message. Turner says, look, us guys, we have discussed the situation. And I'm up here as the representative of said guys to present to you what you should do, which is you should nominate. Hold on. Let me just preface. It is a big move. All right. And I get it. You want to play it safe. But look, we're just presenting you with this option. We really think it's a good idea. We want to just say that we stand behind you. If you do this, we all of our votes. Already locked in. So here's what you should do. Big move, put up Taylor. And he's like, oh no, Taylor.
Yeah, the biggest move of all, nominating the person who is completely isolated from everyone for existing. What a move. Wow. Congratulations.
Well, you see, what I remember, the definition of big move is that it pisses off at least one person other than the person nominated. But with Taylor, she's going to be so pissed off that it's just a big move by itself.
And I like literally F off all of these people. I am so furious. Taylor seems like the chillest person in the entire world. And so any sort of assertion that she is going to be angry or blow up or anything is literally just a microaggression playing into the angry black woman trope, because it's racism. I mean, messed up.
Is it even at this point? Like,
well, yeah, well, like that's the thing too. Like the concept of saying she's going to blow up is a microaggression, but everyone has really gone macro with the aggression against Taylor, and it's not okay. It is so disgusting. This woman breathes, and they can think of 10 reasons why they should be targeting her. So apparently she's a bully. How can one person bully 15 people? Tell me that. Tell me how one person bullies 15 people. Because I would love to learn. I would like to bully all 15 of them, to be honest. So teach me how so I can do it.
I'm sorry I interrupted that line. That was a good line.
I've had enough. Sorry, I made tea before the podcast to try and calm myself down, but I've just been sitting here straight up raging for like 3 hours. I don't know what else to do.
Yes. Well, Daniel's response to this pitch is like, I'm into the idea. Like, I want to do what you want me to do, But I did. He just talked to Taylor, had a good conversation with her. I talked to her earlier. He's like, I've been having some good conversations with her. I feel like she's opening up. Like, oh, that sucks. And Turner's like, look, you don't have to. We're just giving you the idea and saying that it's a really good idea. And we would all back you if you did the idea. And we would all love you if you did the idea, and that it's a really good idea and that you should do the idea. But we're not saying you have to do the idea.
And like, maybe you are saying they have to do the idea, and like all they sit and do is, so now it's like, okay, well, Daniel is hearing the idea and he's not like totally opposed to it, but he's putting up a little like tiny arguments, and it's like, okay, well, let's walk it back just a tiny bit of like, okay, well, you know, we're really intimidated by Taylor because she's done pageants, so she knows what she's doing. Love to know what that means. But okay, like maybe we can look and maybe there's two options. Maybe you have two options, Daniel.
She's competed before, like in reality. That's basically what a pageant is.
Well, yeah, and everyone else has participated in society. Like, congratulations if we're all talking about things people do.
Nicole is going to come in afterward, and she's going to make the Joseph pitch. She says, look, Joseph, when he was in, he was basically volunteering to go up. He's like, what? I didn't catch that at all. She's like, well, I was talking to Amira, and we're kind of feeling like, what if you made a big move? You put up Joseph. Daniel, unfortunately, did not go.
Oh, I love it.
He did the opposite.
Just 20 minutes late. If this had come up 20 minutes earlier, it could have been something, which still, again, don't love the immediate instinct to nominate Joseph either. But it's all ugly. It's all ugly in BB24.
Yes. Yeah, so he basically is like, oh, man, the thing about nominating Joseph is that, like, I've already, like, the guys have already come to me and all promised me their votes. And like, I wouldn't want to like ruin that, you know, like I've already got those votes. You know, I just feel like, and Nicole immediately like, oh, okay, then never mind. Totally. Don't even forget I even said it. What are the other options? He's like, okay, so here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Indy or Taylor. My initial instinct is Indy, but you know, the guys came up to me. They're like, what if we did Taylor? So I'm not sure, but like, can I just say, like, how cool is it that like all these guys are saying they'll vote how I want? Like, aren't we doing so well?
Also, annoying. Daniel's like, oh, I don't get along with big alpha males. But the second he gets a crumb of validation from them, he's like, oh yeah, I've got those alpha males. Okay. Yeah. We get it, Daniel. You were bullied in middle school or whatever, but
that is actually like when Brittany was hyping up Michael earlier in the day, she spelled that out like explicitly. She was like, I thought Daniel would be like cool, wouldn't want to be with the alpha bros, but what I failed to recognize is that maybe, you know, because he didn't get along with the alpha bros like in high school, now he's in this situation where they need something from him and he's able to sort of like heal that wound by like getting in with them. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to heal that wound when they shove you in a locker next week, nerd.
Oh, boy.
Get out of here. I'm sick of them all. I'm sorry. I'm sick of them all.
He's very excited that they promised him their votes. This guy is a fan of the show. That is the default state. Like, if you are HOH, everybody should be promising you their votes. Like, that is how things work. I don't understand how you don't know that.
And it's weird, too, because, like, it's not an HOH-itis thing either.
Oh, it's
because
the opposite.
Like, he's sitting there, like, yeah, like, devaluing himself with every move that he makes. Very bizarre behavior.
Someone who
like loves the show so much.
Yeah, like he absolutely just refuses to wield any power whatsoever. Just like somebody please just use me.
And then you can dispose
of me later if you want. I just need to be used.
Well, and that's the thing too, where like if that's the way you want to play Big Brother. Like, you know what? That's fine too. If that's how you want to play, cool. So throw the first HOH. Like, why are you playing not an HOH game as the HOH? What are you going to do next week? Stop it.
No. So, speaking about these guys, like, obviously we're not going to be working with them like long term or anything, but I do think that they all need to stay for like at least like a month, you know, like at least like a month before we start doing that. Cause like, you know, then we can start taking them out. And this is when I tweeted out, I was like, we're literally watching in real time how this happens. Like, You wait a month to take any shots at these guys, and now all of a sudden they're trading HOHs and all of your allies are gone. And what are you going to do now? Like, this is the time. Like, this is the time. It always is. It's very simple.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, the early bird gets the worm. And especially when there are so many worms being giant people. You gotta start going for them early, because if they seize power, it's going to be too late. And everyone else will just get picked off one by one by one.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in terms of like Daniel's strategy, obviously it's not going to be in everyone's interest to take a shot at the big guys all the time. But I think the thing that I'm particularly taking issue with is his specific logic in this moment, which is not the logic that he should be using. But he goes back to Indian. So Indian Taylor, his instinct is Indy. And the problem is that like he has been feeling better about Taylor. But it's starting to sound like everybody doesn't like Taylor, and that it, maybe that is an easy move. But maybe because everyone doesn't like Taylor and she likes us, maybe that means we should keep her around. Right. And like, maybe just do Indy.
Let's get to that second level of logic.
Yes. And Nicole's like, yeah, I think that makes sense. I think Indy is maybe the call. He's like, yeah, I think so too. I think Indy is the one we should go for. So they break. Nicole goes downstairs. Monty comes up. Monty, one of the guys, he's got the same idea. He pitches Taylor. She's very safe option. Here's the thing. You really want to keep Terrence. You put Taylor up. Everyone's going to vote her out. Nobody likes her. And let me tell you about some of the things that she has been doing. Did you know that she wore her finale dress earlier?
In front of the nominees.
Yeah.
The disrespect. The
arrogance.
She wore a dress. Her crime? Existing while being hot, I guess.
The assumption that she would just, she can just strut out in a finale dress. It's so disrespectful. And goes on and on and on. Convincing Daniel he should go for Taylor, right? In the meantime, downstairs, the Turner and Pooch duo are working on Nicole and, telling Nicole, man, the thing about Taylor is that, can you believe this? Turner says, I had a situation with Taylor. Okay. She approached me. I had eaten. I put my dishes in the sink. She approached me. She was like, hey, you want to do those dishes? Whoa! Excuse me?
Wow.
What is this bullying happening right now? Why are you asking me to do dishes?
God forbid. You're only living with 15 roommates. Maybe clean up after yourself.
Unbelievable. There's also a story going around about how she, I think, Kyle that she was talking to? Somebody she was talking to, maybe it was Monty, she was asking like, oh, does Daniel have a backup plan if the veto is won by one of his nominees? And they were like, I don't think so. She's like, well, that's stupid.
Well, yeah, why would he plan before the situation happened?
I mean, that's
why would you plan ahead? You're only in a house for 100 days, or I guess it's less than 100 days a season, whatever, however many days it is.
Well, that's Taylor thinks that's stupid. And it's very mean of Taylor. Very bullying behavior.
I can't.
Yeah. So Nicole is being convinced by this, the dishes situation and the stupid situation. And Daniel is going to talk with Pooch. And in my read of the situation, this is what really starts to tilt the needle really in the direction that we're going. He's going to reference this specific argument later in regards to the Taylor situation. So Pooch makes the argument that he says, look, Daniel, the thing, because Daniel's talking to every person and telling every person. So I'm between Indy and Taylor.
He's not like, oh, who do you think I should put up? He says, listen, A or B, Indy or Taylor, these are your two options. Like, at least try to get information from people, man. What are you doing?
Yeah. And so he is, same thing with Pooch, Indy or Taylor. Pooch is trying to convince him to go Taylor. And Pooch's argument is, well, here's the thing. We know, right, that Taylor, you know, if you put Taylor up, she's probably going to blow up on you, right? If when she blows up on you and you're like, look, the whole house wanted this. And she's like who? He's like, I'd be willing to raise my hand. I'd be willing to support you.
Oh, yeah. When she blows up, mm-hmm. everyone will just put their hands up and show that it was our idea. And it's not just you. We'll protect you, Daniel, from the mean Taylor.
And here's the thing, he says. Here's the thing. It's only going to get harder to do this, right? Because if you put her up for a whole week, now you're having to deal with her for a whole week. But if we do it now, post veto, right? You just have to deal with her for a couple of days. And it'll be much easier for everyone. And Daniel's like, that's a good point.
Is it Daniel?
Yeah.
Or is it fiction?
I think this is maybe the thing that frustrated me the most, that because I really do think this is like the argument that really like clinched it. And it's the argument of this like false idea of how Taylor will react. And the idea that like the reason why I would choose Taylor over Indy is because I just want to get the Taylor reaction out of the way in as short amount of time as possible.
Well, and what's also really like on top of how it's all complete bullshit and based in stereotypes and is bad. The other thing that makes me so mad about this is that, you know, Daniel and Taylor, like they're not besties. She's not the homie or anything, but they're not like bad vibes. Like they could conceivably work together. It would probably be okay. And so even if we're living in a world where Taylor is going to blow up when she's nominated, Daniel does not have to be the one to do it. Let someone else do it and ruin their week or backdoor to get it. Having someone else, cause a scene would be helpful for Daniel in a week when he doesn't have power. Mm-hmm. Even she's not going to do it, but even if they believe that she will, it does not benefit Daniel to put her up now for that reason.
Yeah. So after the conversation with Pooch, Daniel tells the cameras, I'm leaning toward putting up Taylor now. And he's got to talk with Taylor. He wants to get that out of the way. And so he brings Taylor up and it's like, this is pretty much now or never, it seems, for Taylor. But he gives zero indication that he's even close to leaning toward, putting her up. I mean, he brings her up and they're just laughing and like, joking around, and having a good conversation, just vibing, as he would say, just vibing. She has no idea that she's in trouble. And unfortunately for her, when he's asking her some questions, she ends up saying, well, yeah, the thing about Indy is that, I don't know where she stands game wise. but I wouldn't put her up on the block because I think that if you put Indy up, Terrence might go home. Let's be clear. This is not what causes anything to happen, but it definitely doesn't help.
And it's the thing where she doesn't know that it's between her and Indy. How is she to know saying that is going to cause a problem? That's not her fault. It's not even really a mistake. It's just something that happened.
Yeah. So basically the point is the conversation doesn't really go anywhere and does not help the situation. It seems as though the Taylor nomination is really starting to get locked in. So I just want to stop down for a second, because obviously there's a lot of discourse happening about the situation. I think most people are on the same page that this is a pretty absurd situation that, that is very, bad, and that, people are treating Taylor unfairly. I think I've seen some people sometimes talk about you have to admit she's not good at the game. She's not talking to people. She's not doing things. To which I would rebut. I don't think that if you're making that argument that you understand how the game works. Taylor, from the second she entered the house, before she even entered the house, people had preconceived notions of her based on the leak of the fact that she was going to be on the cast. Mm-hmm. Then she entered the house and had to deal with unfair stereotypes. And we saw the second the feeds turned on, people were already judging her based off of just the most minor of first impressions. And when you're dealing with a group of six women who on night one, hours into knowing you, decided to make a group that excludes you and trash talk you, it's going to be difficult to talk game with them and open up because they don't want anything to do with you. And you don't even know that it's happening. So to say that she's not talking game or she's not doing this, she's not doing that. It's the whole point of playing, when you're playing the game and you don't want to be a Frenchie, you don't want to just expose your whole game to some random person that already hates you. You have to get the vibe of the conversation and judge whether or not the person is open to talking game with you. And most people were not open to talking game with her from get go. So you can't say that she clearly messed up. I've even seen the thing that I hate the most, which is if everyone in the house is separately all saying that they think that Taylor is this, then clearly she has done something. We have literally seen everything.
Yeah,
she has not done the thing.
We got night one feeds. We missed a very short couple of hours, but not enough to make it seem like there's any sort of substance to what is being said about Taylor. I've seen that it's wow, Reddit, Facebook, and Twitter are all on the same page supporting one player. That type of unity does not happen. That should, if you're sitting here saying, oh, well, Taylor's bad at the game, take a step back, take a look at it. And we've seen year after year after year, Black women treated poorly in the house, largely because of stereotypes and implicit bias, those kinds of problems. And then we get people on Twitter who I guess just love to further hate on Black women by saying they're bad at the game when they don't even get a chance to play. There's been a huge diversity initiative at CBS, which I would argue is not great because half white and half everyone else is not really diversity, but diversity alone is not enough. It's called diversity, equity, and inclusion. And more needs to be done at CBS in production, casting, every step of the way to create an environment where Black women can actually play the game on the same level as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. I think that the fact that we have day one feeds, I think, mm-hmm. is hopefully enlightening people more so, because here's the thing. We pretty much know this to be the case. If we did not have night one feeds, that all of this would have been hidden behind an edit that would not have explained the situation. Well, I mean, I'm very curious to see how they edit this situation, yes. But I think we all know what I'm talking about when I say that there have been situations like this before where the edit then goes on to blame the person, even though they have no footage to show of a person doing something wrong, just footage of the other players all saying this person is clearly doing something wrong, which leads to a consensus from the audience, which is like, oh, they must have done something wrong, which, as we can see very clearly, is not the case.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the edit has to go by the lowest common denominator and try and make it easy for the people who don't watch the live feeds to understand what's going on, which is what leads to the edit being inaccurate a lot of the time. So I'm super curious to see how this is all going to be addressed in the next couple of episodes. Mm-hmm.
Daniel seems like he is definitely settling in on Taylor as the option. He's going to talk with Paloma to give her a sense of what he's thinking. He mentions Taylor and she's down for it. He describes I think she, you know, you mentioned that she's like following you around. I think that she's just jealous because you're playing the game that she wants to play. And she's like, oh my God, you're totally right. There's like a weird vibe between, she thinks, okay, just to reset the Daniel and Paloma relationship. She has claimed that, she has him wrapped around her finger and that, that she thinks that he has a crush on her. She now was very upset with Daniel based on the veto situation. She was like, gotta get this guy out. He's problematic. In this conversation, Daniel's like massive puppy dog eyes. I mean, I get that, maybe he makes flirty eyes with a lot of people, but he definitely makes a lot of flirty eyes with Paloma. Whether or not it's flirty eyes or just platonic.
Yeah.
Endearment.
It's hard to tell, when it's flirting and when it's, attractive people existing.
Yeah, like he really likes her. It doesn't have to be in any kind of romantic way or anything like that. But he really likes Paloma. He makes a note of it all the time. He's like, I really like, you're just the best. We just vibe so well. I wish we didn't have to talk so much game because I just want to vibe with you. And also like, oh, that t-shirt is so cute. So they're talking through that situation and she's down for the Taylor stuff. Then they get interrupted and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Then we get to, Everybody Hates Taylor Part 2.
Yes.
Which kicks off primarily with, something that it was difficult to see coming because, it stems from something that we did not see on the feeds, but yes. Monty goes to Paloma and says, so I've got something to tell you, and unfortunately involves you. He says yesterday morning, and I believe that when he says yesterday morning, I think he means this morning.
It's really hard to say with like the weird sleep schedule, what mornings are.
Yes. Because there was a conversation that they had this morning. I did not catch one the previous morning. And also, the information that Taylor supposedly gives could only have come from things that happened in the day, the previous day. So anyway, I think what he means is this morning, but it doesn't really matter. He says this morning, Taylor told me that you were coming for like the big guys, that you were targeting the big guys. And Paloma says, what? That's an absolute lie. And Monty's like, I thought so. I didn't think that it was true. Monty is really upset that Taylor would try to trick him and lie to him. Paloma's upset that somebody's lying about her. She ends up crying and the whole house starts rallying around her. How dare Taylor?
Yeah. And like, for the record, Paloma did want a man to go home this week, just to step that up in case anyone's forgotten. So she got caught and now she needs to be the victim, obviously.
Yes. So obviously there's a lot of confusion around this particular situation. Did Taylor say this to Monty? Is he making it up? As I said, I mentioned that conversation in the beginning of the day for a reason. I believe that's when the conversation he's referring to happened. We saw a glimpse of it and then the feeds cut away. The facts are we don't know. We don't know what Taylor said to Monty. We don't know if she said this at all. My guess is that she did say something along those lines, completely throwing Paloma under the bus, saying like Paloma's going for the big guys, watch out for her, sounds very unlike everything else I've heard from Taylor in her conversations. I doubt she said it in that way, but she may have, because it was a good, like the vibes were good in the conversation. She may have just been giving Monty a heads up, like, hey, you know, watch out. Some of the women might want to get you up in a renom situation, or, you know, whatever it is. Either way, he came away from the conversation feeling like maybe she's saying Paloma will come for me. So he relates that information to Paloma. My guess is that he's not making it up whole cloth, because he seems genuinely very upset that he believes Taylor lied to him.
Yeah. I think Taylor was genuinely trying to give a heads up. But again, we're going based off of something that we haven't seen. So it would be great if in the way all of this is edited, we get to see the flashback of what was actually said so that we can have a little bit more context. But yeah. And so this just spirals out of control. At no point does Paloma confront Taylor to say, hey, why did you say this? Because, you know, other people get the opportunity to respond to things that are said about them, such as Paloma getting a heads up. But Taylor doesn't get the opportunity to respond to what people are saying about her.
Yes. And so I guess the final important piece to note is, in case you don't already know, Taylor is obviously not lying about the situation. We don't know exactly what she said. But given the message that is being relayed, we do know that Paloma did want to target some of the big guys. And she did have some vague conversations with Taylor around that involved, like, women stick together, go after the big guys. So I don't think we have reason to believe that Taylor intentionally lied about the situation either. But again, maybe I doubt it. Maybe we'll see this on the show. So this becomes the new rallying cry, to, like, this is the final straw in the Taylor situation, is that how dare she go after poor Paloma, poor innocent Paloma, poor sweet innocent Paloma.
Innocent and sweet. Yeah.
You know, that's going around, and it really just, this is when things really start to spiral as this goes around. Nobody is really innocent here. Like, Terrence gets in on it. Brittany and Michael go up and tell Daniel about the situation, and Daniel is pissed. Like, how dare she, do that to poor Paloma? Trash is being talked all over the place.
Yeah. And also, just for obviously we're going through everything, but if people want to read a thread to catch up on it, at @Valerie_gallery had a good thread breaking it down this morning as well.
Yes. You know, unfortunately, I did not have the time to, like, gather up all of the quotes, because there's a lot of them, and it's, yeah.
Exactly. And it happened just, like, all night long through the night. And
it happened hours ago.
Yeah. Taryn needs to sleep at some point. So, just in case people want to see a really good distillation of it, because it really just pushes Taylor is horrible. Paloma is sweet and cute. Why would Taylor lie on Paloma like that? People calling Taylor a bitch. People bringing up again the dress. Just like working each other into a fury of like mob mentality.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so. Then it's a sort of like, pile on top of it all, we see Taylor crying in the bathroom by herself. She even, like, noted earlier, like, why am I always by myself? Like, where is everyone? She ends up crying on her own. There was speculation that maybe she overheard some of the trash that had been that people were talking, because it was all happening all over the place. That may be the case. She may have just, like, caught a vibe and started crying. Or it may have even just been general crying that had nothing to do with the situation. Sometimes people do just cry in the house. It's hard to know, because she didn't really explain in the moment. She later actually talks to, of all people, Paloma about it, and says, I was just crying earlier for no reason at all. Just talking about general stress. So I don't know why she was crying, but obviously, like, you know, I can only imagine that the fact that she is a social outcast, whether she notices or not, is certainly not helping.
Yeah, like even obviously we haven't seen any diary rooms or anything. We don't really have an insight into specifically what's going on in Taylor's mind. But like, even if she does not know everything that's happening behind the scenes, you can feel it. When you walk into a room and nobody wants to talk to you and nobody likes you, you can tell. Like, humans are social creatures, and most of us can pick up on vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And you know, like there's very little like social support, you know, happening. Like, mm-hmm. She's having occasionally some good conversations with people, but then those same people are turning around and trash talking her later. And so, again, whether or not she knows that's happening, like, there's definitely, like, you can usually pick up on it. And picking up on it is not the same as like knowing that you're in danger or knowing for sure that people are talking about you, but just like on a subconscious level alone, there's a difference between people who are like genuinely like friendly and wanting to support you and people that are like trying to avoid you or like whatever, right? So, whatever the case may be, you know, things are not great for her. And she ends up crying, which is very upsetting.
It's horrible. It's a horrible clip to watch of just Taylor crying and feeling bad. And meanwhile, everyone is all like, oh, Paloma is so sweet. Paloma's my little sister. Oh, she would never do anything wrong. Oh, so sweet. Blech.
It's wild. It's wild watching how that work, like Paloma being like the most active person in the house, Taylor being one of the least active. But the perception is like completely opposite, basically.
Paloma must have just a very magnetic energy in person, because she does not come across well, like, great when you're watching her, but yet people are really falling for what she's giving, and she must have some sort of quality about her that draws people in. Like, I don't understand it. I don't see it. I have no idea.
I mean, I honestly think, and you know, I do think it is, you know, a thing to note in regards to playing Big Brother, but being very active, talking to people a lot. We hear it every single season so often, like, this person's not talking to me, I don't trust them. If you talk to people, they tend to trust you more, if you have any like semblance of social skills. And so, like, just by being so overly active, talking to so many people, they feel like she's making them feel more comfortable. You know, and the fact is that most of the time, the people that are talking to people the most are the people that you should be looking out for the most. But on like an instinctual level, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like the people that aren't talking to you are the dangerous ones, and the people that are talking to you are the nice ones. And it's very easy for that to be reinforced, because the people that are talking to you are in your ear about how they should be perceived. And the people that aren't talking to you are the people that are very easy to paint a picture on.
And I do think that part of it also comes down to Paloma being very physically small and young as well. I think people are inclined to protect someone like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's basically where we are. I think that a lot of people are looking for like what are the main things that people are saying about Taylor? And to like, to give that list, it's the dress, which they encouraged her to wear, and then basically like peer pressure forced her to go show off. The stupid comments, it's the sort of thing where you're like, oh, she said that Daniel was effing stupid. Like, no, first of all,
yeah,
like, she was just saying it's stupid
like
to not have a backup plan.
Yeah.
But second of all, it's like, yeah, that could theoretically sound bad in isolation, but if you have to look at like what everybody has said, like everybody has said way worse things about Daniel, like about other people, like these kinds of things are said all the time. It's only when she says it that it's a problem, because she's already the pariah. So there's that. And then that now this Monty situation, the dishes situation, remember like back in night one, there was like a pineapple incident.
The pineapple incident.
And again, like, I honestly think the main thing, and this is the, like, the, really the takeaway I want you to make sure that you have in regards to, like, is she doing anything wrong? Which first of all is no. Like, it's the preconceived notions. It's the stereotypes. It's the, you know, the leak that a pageant girl is going to be on the show. The idea of what a pageant girl even means, to these people. Then seeing her, and remember the first time we saw people talk about her, they were like, oh, like this, like she's like this, which is me doing a pageant wave. If you're not,
yeah. Which first of all, if you're going to do the pageant wave, it's elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, touch the elbow, make the twist. First of all,
yes. And so when you're put in that box, when people are prejudging you, it's very difficult to get out of it, especially when you don't know that you've been put in that box. And every tiny thing that you do wrong, every tiny bit of thing that, like, social faux pas, that whether it's like a big one or a tiny, tiny one, that, or even one that is not even a social faux pas, it just happens to, like, rub somebody the wrong way because it's a misunderstanding or just like that person's weird. Those things get amplified and then shared to the group. And then the group has a collective mountain of evidence of tiny little things that you have done that, like, if that level of scrutiny was put on anybody else, would be the same. It would make them look bad. But because she's already in that position, it's now on her. And that's the situation we're in, right? Like, that's why we're talking about, like, the degree to which it is unfair.
Yeah, she never had an equal opportunity to play the game.
Yes, exactly. So that's where we are here, on day four. Yeah.
Sorry.
Big Brother 24.
Sorry, everybody. We're just reporting the news. It's not our fault.
Yeah. And if this is a bummer to you and you're like, oh, man, why do you got to talk about this? Like, blame the cast, not us.
Yep. It's because it's what's happening. And yeah. I am sitting here watching the feeds trying to decide if it's more like BB19 or BB21.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
All right. So that's about what we've got. Anything else that you wanted to bring up, Kristen?
The shower drain is already, like, disgusting, and it's day four. Like, did they do any sort of maintenance on this house between seasons?
Well, they changed the tiles, the ceiling tiles.
I think it's very disgusting when you're hearing people be like, listen, if you want to avoid the drained, the shower clog situation, here's how you should shower strategically. Like, get a plumber in there. Good God.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. I will be back, of course, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. We'll see if what comes of this whole situation. Hopefully it doesn't just continue in the way that it is, but we will have to wait and see. I will also be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong in just a couple of hours for, our weekly goose duck. Game. And then later tonight, I'll be live watching the episode on Twitch along with all of you for tonight's Sunday night episode. And then after the episode, we'll be live podcasting, recapping the episode. So check all of that out again over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, and here on the podcast. Kirsten, where can people find you?
Yes, so you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What, where I will also be playing Goose Goose Duck with Taryn this afternoon in just an hour and a half. Good Lord. You can also hear me recapping BoJack Horseman every week on BoJack Horsepod. You can hear me recapping Riverdale kind of biweekly with Frail Mary over on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K. And every single week, you can hear me and Sasha Joseph break down pop culture, celebrity gossip, and trending topics on Mess Magnets, which is renewed till the end of August. So please go subscribe so that we don't get canceled.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.